Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you. Just please stay standing for a second, because I just want to welcome up. I would like us to welcome. You're not going to be asked to preach. It's okay. This man who could preach the socks off this room. This is a hero of the faith. A real hero of the faith. He's the Archbishop of Jos in Plateau State, Nigeria. His name is Ben Kwashi. And if you don't know his story, buy the book when we finish writing it, because that's what we're doing now. It's a great story. It's a great story. So I'd like you to give him a really warm welcome. Trust me, he's a hero of the faith.
Love you.
He's having a very unusual time. Oh, you can sit down, please. He's having a very unusual time because normally everywhere he goes, he preaches. And I said to him, would you like to preach to him? I said, oh, no. So this is unusual for this man, okay? But his story is just quite astonishing. And I've been blessed to sit and listen to this now for, we've got a fortnight together. I've had 3 days of it, and it's just, my ears are hot, I tell you. It's a good story of an adventure of the faith. Now, who likes adventures? Oh, your hand went straight up. Hey, hey, look for the adventurous ones. Who likes adventures? Come on, let's see these hands. Okay, there's some of you who are thinking, I'm not sure I like an adventure. But you know, God is an adventurer. And the best stories in the world, as Winston Churchill once said, the most exciting thing in the world is the sound of a bullet just missing you. Of course, we only ever interview the survivors, but there we go. Now, the adventures are the place where you step out in faith with God. It's the place where you think, God, if you don't show up now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel you're saying do this, so I need to get out of the boat. And what happens next, Lord, is up to you. That's the point at which you grow in faith. That's where the stories come from, isn't it? You put your hand up first, you know that's true. Yeah? It's where God says, come on, trust me in this. You cannot do this yourself. You can't do it yourself. That's okay, because you know you need me. And this is where God shows up. Now, who in this room would like more joy in their life? What's the matter with you folks? More joy. Come on. Who wants more joy in their life? Listen, God wants to give you more joy. God wants to pour out his joy in your life. And he's going to do it as you step out in faith. We're reading the book of Romans at the moment. We were reading John. I just love John's gospel. Romans is a quite difficult book. If you're struggling with Romans, read Galatians with it, because Paul is making the same case from different directions. Romans and Galatians go together really well. But here's a verse from Romans. This is from yesterday, I think. Romans 10:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And God wants to lead us by his Spirit. Not by our eyes, not by our own self-confidence, not within our own comfort zone, but by his Spirit to do the things that only he can do in our lives. Well, we had an outreach a few weeks ago, and there are outreaches here going on all the time. It's not my natural place to be on an outreach. That's why I'm doing them. Okay? From the last one that I went on, there was a moment where the presence of God showed up. Do you know what I mean by that? Because he's there all the time. There's a moment where suddenly I become aware that God's presence is there. And it's hard to describe this, but if you can imagine a kind of a golden, an orange sort of mist, an orange presence, I don't know, I'm going to be silly, I'm going to sound like somebody practicing transcendental meditation if I'm not careful, but the presence of God turned up. There was a sense of God's presence and a sense of God's glory, and a point at which, when what was being said, you don't know what you're going to say, you're just going to open your mouth to somebody, you're going to speak. God was there. And with that came joy. With that, you want more joy? Take an adventure with God. Andrea, Can we dim the lights, please, and can you show us this wonderful clip? By faith, it's a wonderful clip. That. Yeah, just for the recording, what we've just seen is from the Indiana Jones movie where he takes this leap of faith. He has to cross this enormous chasm. There is no visible way to get across. He cannot jump it. He's been told there's a bridge, but you won't be able to see it. He has to step out and commit his entire life to what happens next. And our God says, I will make the ground firm beneath your feet. Beneath your feet. Step out in faith, and God will make the ground firm. He will make your path straight. We're called to be led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. And the children of God, and I've said this often, when Jesus is baptized at the age of 30, a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And at that point, he enters his ministry. At that point, Jesus had moved from becoming mature to the point where he'd walked with his Father and completely took on board the heart of his Father, the desires of his Father, the ministry of his Father, so that it was no longer him serving someone, but it was his. And the sons, the children of God, are those who know the heartbeat of their Father and say, "Use me, Lord, use me, use me. Use me. This is my burden, my concern, my heart's cry. Use me." It's where we own the ministry. We're not doing it for someone else. We're not like a servant or a hired hand. But God treats us like sons who he can rely on. He says, "This is yours. Do it. Walk with me, but do it." Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons, the children of God. The kingdom is always advancing. It doesn't stand still. If the kingdom was to stand still, then Jesus would never have taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But what he's saying in that Lord's Prayer is, get that in your heart so that whatever you see around you that is not on the heart of God, that is against the heart of God, wherever you see people who are not fulfilled and walking with their God, you get a heart to say, "Come on, Lord, raise up these people. Raise them up." It's about seeing other people with a heart of love and God's heart of love so that we feel something of what he feels and we commit ourselves to reaching out and lifting up and raising up. He always leads us in triumphal procession. So our walk with him is a walk, not a sit. It is not static. It is one foot in front of the other. Now, the thing about my feet is they're made of flesh and bone. So my flesh moves where my spirit is convicted. Okay? So it works like this. We see with our spirit. We activate our faith, which is our agreement with God. Our faith is our trust in God. God speaks something into your heart, Larry. You go, "Yes, Lord." And then he says, "Okay, what are you going to do now, Larry? Come, let's walk. Let's walk. Let's walk." So what starts from the heart of God goes into my spirit and is expressed out in my flesh and blood. It has to be so. That's the walk of faith. How many of us are walking in faith? How many of us are just sitting in faith? Let me give you a best example I can think of how faith is expressed in flesh and blood. There was a pastor I met in Uganda who lived in an area where the Lord's Resistance Army were active. And the Lord's Resistance Army, a bunch of maniacs. Nothing to do with the Lord, nothing to do with him. Lots of child soldiers, much insanity going on. Very dangerous part of the world to live in. And this pastor is walking through the bush there. He's a very simple man. And God says to him, "Get down." So this pastor throws himself to the ground and the bullet just catches his sleeve. He expressed in his body what he had received from God in his spirit. And he responded in an act of obedience. If he hadn't, I'd never have heard that story. He would be dead. And I often wonder if it had been me doing that, walking through the bush in Uganda. I think I might have said, that's interesting, Lord. Was that me or was that you? If I'd have had time to complete the sentence, that is. But no, he immediately responded with his body wholeheartedly to what God had spoken into his spirit. He responded by faith. Faith is trust in action. It's not passive. It doesn't sit and weigh up. It acts. It's about having the same heart and purpose of as our Father and doing what our Father is doing. It's outworked through what we do. It's a walk of faith. It is a work motivated by faith, outworked through faith. Now, you know I am not preaching a gospel of works, don't you? Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through what? Through what? Love. The only thing that counts is the expression of our faith outwards to others in acts of love. Your faith is not just for you. Your faith is not just between you and God. It is not a private matter. Listen, the Amplified puts it beautifully. It says, faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. It's the outworking of what God has done in our lives that counts. Why? Because God is love. And everybody you meet, everybody you see, he has a heart of love. He wants to raise each one up from the ash heap and seat them with the princes of their people. And this is a man who's committed his life to doing that in the front row. Does it? Wonderful. Faith without works is dead. So this is not a gospel of works, folks. This is the gospel. That our faith is to motivate us and energize us and get us to put one foot in front of the other and embark on an adventure with God where God has to show up. Because if he doesn't show up, we're stuck. It's not private. And I think there's still a bit of a bad smell that hangs around the air in our country, which suggests that faith is a private matter between you and God. Bunk. Bunk. It isn't private. It is public. Faith is the outworking of love. That's what it is. You can't keep it to yourself. You can't read this and keep it to yourself. You can't read this and not love other people. Jesus says, if you haven't loved you, if you've got a problem with your brother, don't come to me. Sort it out with your brother. Put it right with people first. It's outward. And that's the adventure. And that's when the joy comes in. And I can prove it to you. There's a divine flow of God's love. God is love. He is also holy, but he is love. Love is not what he does. Love is who he is. Love always gives. Love always trusts. Love always reaches out. Love always believes the best of another person. Love always works for their good. Always, always. It never gives up. That's who God is. It's not what he does. It's who he is. And that's who he calls us to be. So this faith adventure is the outworking of what God has put in our hearts to reach out to others with the love of God and the goodness of God, to believe the best in them, to raise them up, to speak good things for them, to champion them. Because God is our champion. He doesn't put us down. He's holy. But he doesn't say, and you are not, so I'm walking away. Which one of us didn't need God's mercy? Daily, I need his mercy. And he gives me his grace to be his child, to care, to work out my faith, to do my Father's business, which is to bring the love of God on this earth, to love as he loves. I need him to do that. I need him to do that. But listen, it isn't a private matter. If you imagine a cross, okay? My faith, my walk with God, I receive from him. I give him my life and I give him my heart. He comes into my life and my hands reach out. And what I've received from him, I give. And that's where God shows up. That's where I grow. That's where you grow. That's where joy comes between us. That's where the kingdom comes. I've received from him, it's in my heart, and my hands reach out to give. We're called to take up our cross. Listen, the flesh doesn't want to give. The flesh wants to do two things: protect itself and acquire for itself. That's what the flesh wants. Where the new NIV talks about the sinful nature, it's an interesting translation, but the actual word is the flesh. And the word in Greek is sarx, and what it actually means, the best way I can try to understand it, is it's the animal side of me, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm a creature that wants to defend myself, save myself from harm, and acquire. That's what the flesh does. It's a place of fear and greed. Fear and greed doesn't want to love. If we're going to love, we take up our cross, we receive, and we give. The flesh doesn't want it, the spirit insists on it. That's how it works. Let's talk about this divine flow of God's love, because I was reading Romans and John, and I just love John's gospel, and this stuff just began to speak to me, because as we receive his love, and as we give his love, so there is a flow of God's love through us. It flows, and you know it, and it feels good. It feels really, really good. Why? Because joy is added to that. John 15:11, please. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be what? Your joy may be what? Complete. God wants you to be filled with joy. Filled with joy. He wants you overflowing with joy. Not just a drop, not just a little bit, not just a hint. Overflowing with joy. With God's blessing, with happiness. How does it happen? John 15:11. Pastor Colin, who was preaching to us last week, said this: joy is the barometer of your faith. While you walk in the faith, you are rejoicing, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. We don't wait for joy to turn up to get going. It's when we get going that joy comes. So as we give away what God has given us, joy is added. It's an unreasonable thing. It's an unexpected thing always, and an utter pleasure. But the joy of God comes in. If you're sitting here thinking, I need more joy in my life, give away your love. Give away your love, and the joy will be added to you. You're still thinking, is he right about this? The flow of love is expressed first in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Total, total, total love expressed between them. It's then expressed through the church. And this unity of heart and purpose expressed outwardly in love is that which reveals the truth to the world. Let's hear the words of Jesus, John 17:21. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are called to be in the love of God, in his love. walking closely to him, walking in obedience to him. And the one thing Jesus said, you know, that last command was better translated as the last will and testament of Jesus. My will for you, the best thing I could possibly give you, the best thing I could possibly give anybody is this. Love one another. Love one another. So that my love can flow through you and that your love can be seen and that the world will see and its jaws will drop and its eyes will open and they'll go, what have they got? I want that. What are they on? I'm having some of that. And of course, it doesn't stay within the church. Why have we done that? Why have we made faith private? Why have we made faith a matter between four walls? Never, never. Where was the Sermon on the Mount? It wasn't in a room. It was out. Out. But it'll happen, you see. Because love is always outward. It won't stay in these four walls. We haven't got a church of people who even want that, I know. Okay, you want to give it away, don't you, Isabel? That's why you invite your friends to the craft group. Yeah, we want that. Now listen what God says to you. Brilliant. You're on the right lines. You know what's going to happen now? As you give your love away, Sue, my joy is going to turn up. My joy is going to turn up. Very good. It's very good. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Hey, this gets even better. It's not just joy that turns up. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. There are two amazing statements in here. Let's just deal with the last one first. I want them to be with me where I am. Hey, folks, we know that's going to happen. We've trusted the Lord, we're going to heaven, but that's not what he's talking about. That's going to happen anyway. He doesn't even have to say that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a unity of the Spirit between the church and the Godhead, where the glory of God is expressed outwards through the church. Wow. How is that ever going to happen? Well, it's the glory that draws us, folks. It's the glory that draws people. They see the joy. They see the presence of God, the unreasonable joy, the unreasonable confidence we have in God. Even when we're waiting for something and we haven't yet got what we've seen, what we have is a faithful God who says, I want a faithful people. They see that unreasonable confidence. While the world around us saying, curse God and die, saying, my God is wonderful, and I know I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I know it. I know it. And they go, what is this? So Jesus is saying, I want them to be with me where I am. He is looking now on earth as it is in heaven for a unity of the Spirit within the church with the Godhead. Think about it. He says of all of the church, and remember at the time, well, we've been reading Romans, it's Paul thinking these people are trying to make the Jews go back to obeying the law. And Paul's doing everything he can to argue against that. There's the potential for division. There's people who've got this idea. There's people who've got that idea. There's people running on this revelation, running on that revelation. There are wolves among the sheep. There are people who are just doing their own thing. But Jesus has prayed that they may be one. Listen, I don't know how he's going to do that. But he's going to do it. The one that spoke you into being. The one that spoke this planet into being. The one that flung stars into space. Did it by his word. And he has said that they may be one. One. He will do it. God forgive us our denominations. Oh, forgive us our self-righteousness. Thank you. That they may be one. He will do it. What do you have to do? Simple. Stay in him and love one another. Nothing else. Nothing else. Stay in him and love one another. That's how it's going to happen. That's how revival happens. That's how the kingdom comes. Because love will not stay within four walls. Yeah, the church will be blessed. Wonderful. It won't stay here. It couldn't stay here. If you're a son of God, a daughter of God, if you're a child of God doing your father's business, where you see the pain out there, where you see the need out there, where you see that people can be so much more than they are because they've not seen it. You can't fail to pray, to engage your heart, to engage your feet, to engage your hands, and to reach out. So glory is added. Joy is added. Now this word unity, that they may be one. This might come as a revelation to you. It comes from a Greek word, heis. And that Greek word means, stand by, one. Thank you, Richard. It means one. Why is this a big deal? One is a primary number. It's the primary number. One is indivisible. That they may be one. Indivisible. Champions of one another when anything comes in to try to divide and separate. When any accusation comes in. When others have fallen short of God's only standard that matters, the standard of love, let you down, disappointed you. We champion one another. We lift one another back up. One, a unity number, just like the Godhead. And the same unity of love must exist in the church as exists in the Godhead. It must. Now, that's not telling you that you'd go and do this. God will do it. You just give away the love you've got. You just walk by faith. You step out in faith. You step out in obedience. God will do. God will build his church. You give away his love. Give away his love. Give away his love. Jesus prays, may they also be in us so that the world may believe. Jesus has commanded this. He has already called it into being. So how are we to be in Jesus? John 15 says, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. This is my command. Love each other. The word intimacy came out earlier. God is looking for intimacy. Love is about intimacy, folks. It's not about head knowledge. And it is not about religion. It's about intimacy. To know God is not to know about him. It's not to have read all the books. It's to know about him, to know him, and to have got the t-shirt. Larry. Come on, Larry, stand up and show us your t-shirt. This man has got the t-shirt. My saviour says, tougher than nails. Come on. Very good. Very good. Now, why has he got the t-shirt? Because he knows him. You know him. Those are just words that you know are true. Because you know him. So the word about knowing God, when he says, I want to know you, the word in the Greek is epignosis. And it means, not I know about, it means I know from personal experience, beyond any doubt, I know my Savior lives. I know him. I know him. And I don't care what arguments come against me. I know him. I might not be able to answer your questions. I might not be able to satisfy your mind. Oh, I'll try. But I know him. And if you look me in the eye and give me a moment, you'll look in my eye and you'll see I'm speaking the truth. And you might think, what is this? And I might just be a sign and a wonder to you. Or maybe you'll say, and I want to know him too. I knew him when I was 14. I'm 61. 60. Hang on, don't wish it away. I'm 60. He's faithful. He has never let me down. He's the one who sticks closer than a brother. I love him. And they haven't yet locked me away for it. 1st-hand experience of God. What happens as we live in intimacy with him, led by his Spirit, walking in obedience, is he promises us in Galatians 5 fruit. It can't fail. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of this walk is love. Of course, first love. Of course, because he's love. Joy. You want more joy? Give away your love. Love, joy, peace. Thank you for peace, Lord. I don't have to worry about that job. I don't have to worry about the money for the car. Peace. It's unreasonable. Love, joy, peace. Patience. Give me patience and make it quick. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay? Patience and self-control and faithfulness all suggest it's going to be put to the test. Okay? They all suggest that. So you want God to grow you, just say, Lord, thank you for the trials. Thank you for the difficult times. Thank you for the opportunities to step out in faith and trust that what it looks to me like storm-tossed sea will actually be solid ground, because his word promises, I'll make the ground firm beneath your feet. John 17:13. I say these things, says Jesus, right at the end of his ministry here, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Full measure. Do you know what that means? Jesus was anointed with joy above everyone else. And he's not keeping it to himself. He wants you to be anointed with his joy. The full measure of his joy. How he adds joy to your love. Give away your love, get his joy. Give away your love, get his joy, and know his glory with you. Walk by faith. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can we have the band up, please? We're going to take communion in a minute. And as we take communion, just ask yourself, in fact, could everybody stand, please? Pastor Colin last week said, Paul tells us to examine ourselves when we take communion, and that examination is to see whether we are today walking by faith. So just ask him, today, Lord, am I walking by faith? Is there something you've asked me to do which I've thought is too difficult and I can't do it and I won't? Today, walk by faith. So we're going to get you to come out and take communion in a minute. Why? Why aren't we bringing it to your seats? Because there's a walk of faith and a bit of theatre that needs to be done here. A little bit of outward working. I am going to walk up here because I'm saying to you, my king, my brother who sticks closer to me than anybody else, who bears every burden, let's walk together. I'm going to walk with you, Jesus, and I'm going to come and I'm going to take from you what I need because I am not adequate to myself. I need you. There's no shame in that. It's no shame to need God's presence in your life. In fact, if you don't think you do, that's a shame. That's pride. We need him. We need his mercy. We need his grace. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Guys, the walk of faith is not waiting for what you need, it's trusting him. and still walking, and then he supplies your needs. That's the walk of faith. So today, when we come up in a minute or two, that's what we're doing. We're saying, I trust you, and I'm going to step out in faith, knowing that you will make the ground firm beneath my feet, because I trust you, my Savior, my Redeemer. I just want to say as well, folks, it's intimacy with God that he's looking for. Not knowing about him, but knowing him. When was the last time you felt intimate with your Savior, with your Father? Have we dried out a bit? Have we hardened up a bit? Have we put some distance between us and God? Close that gap today, because there's no distance between him and you. He's going to give you what was broken for you on the cross, because he loves you now. And if you settle for religion instead of a living faith, today, give your heart to him. Give your heart to him. I want to know you, Lord, because you want to know me. To know as I've been known. We're made for this. We're made for this. Nothing else will do. This is what we're made for. Intimacy with Jesus, intimacy with the Father, intimacy with the Godhead. How astonishing! I'm not going to let that opportunity go. I'm going to take that.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.